We are going to be in the book of Psalms, in chapter 42. And the truth is we don't have an application for Elizabeth. And in fact, I'm only worried about three things about any boy that comes around interested in her. We're only going to check three things. We're going to check your credit. We're going to check your church. Amen. And we're going to check your character. You pass on those three, then when she approaches dating age, we'll let you know. 19's a little too young, I think. Oh, happy birthday. Psalm 42. We're going to read the entire psalm and just follow along with me. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where's thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan, from the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a sword in my bones my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we gladly come together today in your name. Give you honor and glory. You're so glorious, and you're wonderful, and you're full of love and compassion. Lord, you reached down and you saved us from our sins, and you gave us hope of eternal life. And we love you. We really want to honor you and lift you up today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd take your word and that you'd apply it to every heart, whatever the need. Lord, you know. You know the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be Lord over this service. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you noticed, there was one verse in that psalm that is repeated twice. It's the verse 5 and it's verse 11. And if you look over in chapter 43 and in verse 5, you find that verse once again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So we've got a verse that is repeated three times in this particular chapter right here. The only difference is in verse 5, it says the help of his countenance. And it says in verse 11 and in verse 5, the health of my countenance. And so it kind of has an application both ways. And I've been thinking about that particular verse. It's a very interesting verse. This is, we're actually eavesdropping on a conversation. This is a two-way conversation here. This is a conversation between a man and his soul. And of course, it could apply to anyone in this room here today. And basically, if you want to boil it down, the man's talking to himself. This is what he's saying to himself. He's asking himself a question. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? And then he gives himself advice. He says, hope thou in God. And then he gives himself the basis of that hope and something to look forward to. He says, I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. And I thought that that was a very interesting progression in that particular thing. And maybe we can catch something out of this particular conversation this morning and learn a little bit of something from it. So I want to look at it. So maybe if you look at it in medical terms, you could see his condition, the fact that he's cast down, and the fact that he makes a diagnosis of his own soul. He realizes what's going on in his soul, and he wants to know, he wants to get some answers. And then there's actually a prescription, you know, and you go to the doctor and you get a diagnosis, then you're going to get a prescription if it's a drug that can help you. And he's going to prescribe something and he's going to tell you what to take in order to help your symptoms or to help your condition. So we got a prescription, and that's hope. Amazing prescription. Amen. And then we have a prognosis. Prognosis is a medical term that means what can we expect in the future from you taking this medicine. And the prognosis is I am going to yet praise him. And the health of my countenance is going to change. And so good prognosis. And by the way, this particular prescription that we're going to be looking at today is not like the ones on TV. I'm amazed. We hadn't had a TV in years and years, and now, you know, we brought it back into the house, and we watch certain shows. We're on this MeTV thing quite a bit. Number one, because you don't need cable to buy it, and I refuse to pay for cable. Not only because of the cost, but just because of my lack of self-control. I'll be there all day, you know, switching forth between the History Channel, the Animal Planet, and all these. I'll never get anything done. But MeTV has all these old movies, right? Gilligan's Island and Hogan's Heroes and all these things from the 60s and 70s. And because of that, they have a lot of medicine commercials. I guess they're catering to old people. I should stop watching the old people's channel because I'm not in that class, you know. Everybody else, you ever meet somebody you hadn't seen in a long time and you say, man, you sure are getting old. But they list all these side effects. Oh, ask your doctor about Humira. It can cause dysfunction, paranoia, schizophrenia, sudden death, you know. Man, I'm going to run to my doctor and ask for that medication, you know. I want that in my life. I don't have enough of that stuff in my life, you know. It's just amazing, you know. Well, here's a prescription that has no ill side effects. It'd be a very healthy thing for us to look at it here today. This conversation that the author has with his soul, that this man is having with his soul, this conversation is really important for you to have. If you're cast down, you need to find out why. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? It's important because there's all kinds of bad decisions that can be made when you're cast down. It's true. And every one of us gets cast down at some time or another. So somebody told me a long time ago, never make any decisions when you're in that condition. Yeah. And sometimes you have to, but you know, it's always a good idea. You know, if you're in a slump, you know, and you're, you're not thinking right, man, maybe it's a good idea if you can hold it off not to make any life decisions. Some people get cast down and then they end up doing some really stupid things. Men get cast down and then they cheat on their wife. Women get cast down and I don't know what they do when they get cast down. I just know about men. Sometimes they go out and they do stupid things like buy something that they don't need. Hey, that's the wrong prescription, by the way. I'm telling you something, a credit card is not going to fix your slump. Man, I am just down in the dumps. I better go to the mall. Yeah, you'll be picked up for a minute or two, but then when the bill comes in, you'll be right back. But we have alternative things that we use in order to try to fix this particular slump. And we're going to be in heaviness. You know, the Bible says in James, he says, if you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, you know, there's a time when that's going to happen. And sometimes it's clear, like Paul, when he was getting ready, he was on that ship and they were in the middle of that hurricane. And he says, all hope that we should be saved was then lost, you know. And so he was without, he despaired even of life, the Bible says. Well, you know, there was obviously something that was there that contributed to that. But we've got to understand something. There is a spiritual maturity to being able to talk to yourself when you're cast down. Those who wait for others to encourage them. I talked with somebody one time and they were just furious at the church they were going to. They were furious at the church because, man, I've been going through this, and not a single church member ever came up to me and asked me how I was doing. And I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe they don't know. You know, I tell you something, church members, we're not mind readers. You know, we can't always tell when things are going on, but they felt like, man, somebody should come up to them and help them and strengthen them. And that's what we're here for. That's exactly what we should do. But how much better if when you get into a slump, you can talk to yourself and put yourself in the right perspective? That's spiritual maturity. And so that's why it's important. Lamentations 3:21, the writer says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Amen. So we can learn a lot from this conversation right here. And we should be having this conversation when our soul is not right. Because he not only talks about being cast down, he talks about being disquieted. Restless, there's something. I'm telling you something. You know in your own soul when something is not right. Sometimes it's sin. I tell you, it's hard to be, to live a blessed life when you're in willful sin. And maybe the Lord is touching your conscience and he's touching your heart and he's trying to get you to see something that you got to take care of. So it's a good idea to ask why. If there's something going on deep in your soul, why art thou disquieted within me? In this particular case with the author, it wasn't that at all. He was just, he was being overwhelmed with circumstances. If you go back and you look at the text, you find out that he feels like he's been separated from God. And I don't know if any of you ever felt that way, you know, like God is far off and you really don't have any reassurance that he's there. And by the way, the more mature you get, the less reassurance you need. A little child, you know what he needs? He needs constant reassurance. You know, oh, that's so good, you know. Oh, that's a wonderful picture you drew, you know. Man, if one of the grown men came up to me and, hey, see this picture that I drew? You know, it's kind of weird, you know. You don't need constant reinforcement the older that you get. The older and more mature that you get, you know what you're supposed to be doing, and so you just get it done. You don't need attaboys, you know. You don't need these things. My boss wanted to institute some sort of a praise some sort of a commendation thing in the company, you know, so we could kind of recognize good behavior. And so he was thinking, yeah, maybe we could get like a little plaque or, you know, get something like that. Just to, you know, just kind of an attaboy to tell people they're doing right, they're doing good. And I remember a coffee cup that I still have and it said, you can't eat praise. Basically what that means is you want to really give an attaboy to somebody, you know? Yeah. Hey, here's a gift card, you know? Good job, you know? Then you're talking, you know? But truly, you know, if you're mature, you don't need that kind of reinforcement. And if something's going on inside, you, in many cases, can handle it. You need to have a conversation. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He feels separated from God. You look at verse 1 or 2. You know, where is he? He's got several. You look at verse 3 and verse 10. The unbelievers are taunting him. And I tell you what, that can get you down. You know, when unbelievers, especially unbelievers who seem to have everything going their way, and they taunt you and they say, you know, why are you going through this? You know, where's your God? And they challenge you. So sometimes unbelievers can be a real source of discouragement for you. Just overwhelming, heavy trials. You know, there's just times in life when things just clump up together. Hey, more than one thing takes place. We're just not in a bubble. We're not immune to things like physical sickness. We're not immune to things like financial stress. We're not immune to these things. And so all of these things can reach down in our soul, and it can cause us to be cast down. And you need to have a conversation with yourself when that happens. Because you're going to get cast down, and you ask yourself the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? I want to look at what he says to himself. And I'm telling you, maybe some people would accuse him of being trite, but I want to look at this because it's not trite. Look at verse 11. Because he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Then he gives the prescription here. You know, the prescription is, hope thou in God. He's telling himself that. He's telling himself to hope. Hope is an incredible doctrine if you study it out through the Bible. Now, I'll tell you what he's not doing. He's not just minimizing his condition and just being flippant about it or being lighthearted about it. When he says hope in God, it's not like somebody coming up to you and says, hey, man, just cheer up. You know, sometimes when you're cast down and somebody just comes all happy, you know, and they say, hey, cheer up. No, you cheer up. You don't know what I'm going through, you know. Get out of my face. I don't want to hear you coming and just flippantly telling me cheer up like nothing's really going on in my life. You know, oh, come on, man. At least you're not this or that, you know. We've had people tell us all the time, you know, whenever we've had stuff going on. Well, you know, it could always be worse. Oh, man, I'm telling you what, that makes me feel better. Because it's really bad, and now I got to think about it could get worse. This lighthearted, flippant, you know, and just kind of, you know what that's from? That's from the world. The world gives you that. The world gives you the power of positive thinking. You know, don't think about negative thoughts, you know. Don't think about things that'll get you down. Don't be judgmental, you know. Sometimes you come to church and you feel judged. You know what? That's right. Because sometimes the Word of God judges you. The Word's like a mirror. It looks deep down into the soul. And by the way, you want to ask that question, why art thou disquieted, O my soul? Include God, because he'll probably reveal it to you. So he wasn't just flipping about his situation. I'll tell you, the other thing that he didn't do is he didn't dwell on it. When you're cast down and you start dwelling on it, I'm telling you something, it'll make it worse. Oh, it'll make it worse. You know what you need? You need a distraction. You need something away from it. And by the way, you know, sometimes just physically, you know, you're getting tired of work. You're getting tired of people. You know, fishing might be a good prescription. You know, you ask the question, I'd rather be in church than fishing. I'd rather be at church on the lake. How's that? No, I'm just kidding. But the truth is that, Yeah, if it's just some superficial thing, you know, you've been stressed out all week and all this, and you decide to take a day off to kind of decompress, yeah, fishing might be good. But we're not talking about something like that. We're talking about there's actually something going on in your soul, and it's a spiritual thing. And a physical thing is not going to cure your spiritual problem. And so, buying something, or going out and experiencing something, or getting a new hobby, or leaving the church, you know, or giving up on God, you know, that's not going to help your spiritual condition. And so his prescription is not, you know, take a vacation and go fishing. His prescription is not, hey, you know, go out and buy a new house or a new car or something. That'll make you feel better. His prescription is hope thou in God.
Amen.
It's real solid. So he didn't use any kind of superficial things in order to, and this shouldn't even really be said, but it's in our nature. You know, there are some people, they just had a group of people go out on the streets of San Antonio and they're counting the homeless, and we were talking about it at work. They're saying, hey man, they're actually counting people. You know, they go out physically on the streets and count people. I said, yeah, that's exactly what they do. Why would anybody want to live on the street? Well, a lot of people, you know, they're on the streets because of mental illness. You know, and the brain is just like other organs in the body. Sometimes it gets sick, you know, and there's some serious mental illnesses out there. And so sometimes people have some sort of a paranoia, and so they're out on the streets. They don't trust anybody. Everybody's out to get them. And so that happens sometimes. But, you know, there are some people on the streets because they took the wrong prescription.
Amen.
Their soul was cast down. And so in order to lift up their soul, they started doing drugs. Doing drugs, by the way, is great starting out. It's a quick fix. It'll get you high just like that. But it doesn't take long for it to completely ruin and destroy your life. I do not recommend drugs. I do not recommend alcohol. I don't recommend pornography. I don't recommend illicit sex. Any of those things that people reach out for to try to solve that longing that's in their soul. I'm telling you, it's going to destroy your life. And so there's people on the streets that are there because they took the wrong prescription. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Oh, man, that means I've got to go here. I've got to go do this. I've got to go do that. And believe me, in this country, we are in a frenzy of activity.
Yes.
Of trying to just gain everything we can get out of life. And I feel sorry for some of the kids. You know, some of the kids have been so stressed out by their parents and getting them into every little club and every little thing. And clubs are good. Sports are have a lot that they can teach, extracurricular activities. But, man, don't load your kid down with everything, you know. It's not going to solve the longing that's in the soul. Listen, if you realize there's something disquieted in your spirit and in your soul, hope thou in God.
Amen.
That's the prescription that he gives. And this prescription, when he says, hope thou in God, this is like a challenge. Sometimes you've got to challenge yourself. Sometimes you've got to talk to yourself, and you've got to talk to yourself and talk to your soul and say, Brian, why are you such an idiot? You know, talk to yourself. I mean, you can, maybe you'll hurt your own feelings. I don't know, but hopefully you know how to talk to yourself. But I mean, give a conversation with yourself. And what's the difference between me saying, hey, just buck up, you know, just get happy. What's the difference between that and saying, hope thou in God? One is based on emotion and the other is based on truth. Hope thou in God? Hope thou in God, that is a prescription for truth. There's a difference between somebody who's naturally optimistic and naturally pessimistic. I've never really met somebody who was such an optimist. When I came to this church, I met Lindell, and I just was convinced Lindell didn't understand nothing. Because he was always optimistic, you know? I was kind of like one of those disciples listening to Jesus go and visit Lazarus. I'm like, okay, well, let's go die with him, you know? I'm kind of naturally pessimistic. Where if you have a hard time seeing the negative side of things, I can help you. If you want to know how we're all going to die, I can show you how we're all going to die, you know? And yet Lindell's like, oh man, he's happy and all this kind of stuff. And that's pretty disgusting when you're pessimistic. Being around an optimistic person. But some people mistake that. They look at like natural pessimism and natural optimists, because I'm telling you something, there's a lot of optimists that are never cast down. They're always happy. They're always looking forward to things. They're not afraid of anything. And yet they don't know God. So what I'm not talking about is I'm not talking about a natural state that our flesh is in, because everybody's in different states. Some people are very optimistic, some people are sort of pessimistic, and everywhere in between. That's not what we're talking about, because what could happen is somebody could read this verse, and if they're naturally optimistic, happy-go-lucky, you know, everything's, the birds are singing and the sun is shining all the time, then they're going to kind of think that, hey, I got this verse down. But you may not, because there's a lot of optimistic people that are going to die separated from God for eternity. What we're talking about is we're talking about truth. You see, hope thou in God, that's based in truth. It's not wishful thinking. Faith is not wishful thinking. It's so different. The Bible tells us very clearly in Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's deep. It goes right down to the core. It's wrapped up in everything that God is and everything that God teaches. When you say, hope thou in God, it's not a trite phrase. It's not wishful thinking. It's not natural optimism. And it's not just a blind assumption. Have you ever been around somebody who doesn't believe in God, and then they say, well, you know, if somebody passes away, no, he's in a better place. Maybe, maybe not. Because see, we know something about eternity. God has been very clear to give us some glimpses of his expectations. And so maybe not. So somebody might be trying to comfort themselves and say, well, he's in a better place, but it may not be a comfort at all. Hope thou in God is something based in truth. You know, I've got a friend of mine who doesn't believe in God or anything, but he just knows in his mind that there's something better after death. That's all that he has. And that's what he goes on, you know. He lives that way, and so he doesn't worry about death. He's not particularly care about how he lives his life. He just assumes that in the end, it's all going to work out right. And that may not be the case. That's why this prescription is important. You've got to hope in God. This is the difference. The difference is you're giving yourself a prescription based in truth. This is not a placebo drug. This is a prescription that actually works. Look at Hebrews in chapter 6 and verse 19. I'll try to illustrate what I'm talking about here. Look at verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for the refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, there's just no time to actually translate and to expound on everything in that particular verse right here, but very clearly talking about the ministry of Jesus Christ and his work of salvation for the soul. And that verse 19 just rings out to me. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Amen. You see, this is not wishful thinking. This is not natural optimism. This is a solid truth that when times are tough, we wrap into that. We take that anchor. We lay it down into that bedrock. You know, we hook ourselves into something that's not gonna move. And that's our anchor. I watch these guys and they're climbing this straight up cliff. And it's going to take them 3 days to get up the cliff. I am not enough of an adrenaline junkie that even, you know, remotely appeals to me. They're sleeping in a hammock that is hanging on a nail in a rock. And they're thinking, this is really cool. I don't know. You know what I would be doing all night long? I'd be sitting in that hammock. I'd be awake. Did I just hear something creak? Did I just hear a crack? Oh man, that anchor's coming out, man. I know it's coming out. But then you don't want to roll over in your sleeping bag because it might make the anchor man, I wouldn't get any sleep at all. I'd be worried about the anchor all night long. I'd be thinking about that anchor. But I'm telling you, this is a different anchor. This is a hope. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Amen. So I've got something. I've got something that goes far beyond the superficial. I've got something that can actually help me when I'm cast down, when I get distracted by what other people are saying, when I forget the promises of God, when these things just seem far off in my memory. I can go back to what God said. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. And I can put my anchor into that.
Amen.
Nelda sang a special a couple of weeks ago, and it says, I've anchored my soul into the haven of rest. Well, this is the passage that it comes from right here. You want a prescription for a cast down soul? How about truth? Truth. Truth will heal your soul. Because see, that's the prognosis right there. We've got the condition, which is they're cast down. We've got a diagnosis. You know what's going on in your own soul. Hey, look, God's given you a prescription. And listen, we could expound on this. I could give you verse after verse after verse that talks about the hope of the soul. And this is real. This is solid. Paul tells us not to sorrow even as others which have no hope. I'm telling you, we're different than that. We have got something sure that God has said that we anchor our soul into. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. You might have to tell yourself that today. You might have to tell yourself that today rather than reaching for the bottle, rather than reaching for something to kind of tide you over. It's not going to do you any good. You know what you're going to need? You're going to need truth from God's word. It'd be nice if when we're cast down, some sort of supernatural event could take place to kind of lift us up. But you know what God gave us? God gave us truth. It's written down and we can hope in it. But the thing that I like most of all is the prognosis in this particular. Go back there to the book of Psalms in chapter 42. Because this means a lot to me. He's got a prognosis. He doesn't dwell on his stuff. You know, he's turned his attention from that which cast his soul down, and he turned his attention to God. He talked to himself and told himself to do this. And so sometimes you gotta take yourself and talk to yourself and convince yourself to turn back towards God. But look what he says there. We'll take verse 11. For I shall yet praise him. Wow. You see, this is a return to action. You know, praise is a good work. Praise is something that is supposed to be coming out of our mouth. And praise is one of the first things that leaves whenever we're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Like it's God's fault. Like, man, I am not going to give him the time of day. You know, I got a lot of troubles going on right here. Where is he, by the way? Why isn't he coming to my aid? Why is it taking so long? Why is it so slow? Why am I here in the first place? Hope thou in God. I want you to know that God's smarter than you. That God is not disinterested. He doesn't get distracted. He doesn't forget appointments. He doesn't lose track. Man, that's my experience. Danny came to me just now. He said, "Hey," he said, "did you do this week?" And I'm thinking, "Oh yeah, that's right. I kind of promised in the deacons meeting that I was going to do that, didn't I? You know, I'm just happy. You know, I just forgot all about it." Listen, God doesn't forget you. God doesn't forget your situation. In fact, you might not feel him. You might not be able to sense him. But through truth, you know that he's there. He gave you a promise. I will never leave thee and never forsake thee. Now, do I got to keep giving you attaboys in order for you to understand that? Do I got to keep patting you on the back? Or are you going to get strong and say, "I believe God"? Amen. That's what you need to do. Talk to yourself. Rely on that. Put that anchor into that truth so that you've got something strong. And this is a return to action. In business, one of the things that really hurts a business is injuries on the job. And so I got an OSHA certified, and we've started a safety program. And I'm telling you, none of the guys like the safety program. I go and I say, "Sorry, you can't use that saw because it doesn't have a guard on it." "Oh man, now I gotta go out and buy a new saw," and that's exactly right. That's out of service. Get rid of it. And reason why? Yeah, you ever saw something without a guard, you know, and you flippantly just lay it down on something? It's serious work. It's dangerous stuff. And we've been losing a lot of money over injuries. We have to get a handle on it, but then we send them to Workman's Comp. And Workman's Comp, you know what their business is? Is to get you healthy and back to work. They're not interested in giving people disability claims left and right. We've got a guy that got hurt at work, and I thought, man, there ain't no way he's coming back. But they rehabilitated him. They did surgery on his shoulder, that rotator cuff. They gave him exercises to do. Why? Because their idea is to get him back to work. Listen, Christian, you're no good to anybody if you're cast down.
Right. Amen.
You need to get back to work.
Amen.
See, this is the prognosis. This is the something to look forward to. I will yet praise him.
Amen.
God's not interested in putting you out on disability. God's interested in putting you back to work.
Amen.
Getting you healthy again. Who is the health of my countenance? Amen. This is, and help also, but this is the health of my countenance. And this is not physical, by the way. And you can attain this even if your body is wasting away. It has nothing to do with the body. Has nothing to do with your bank account. Has nothing to do with your possessions. Has had everything to do with your soul.
Amen.
God wants you productive again. God wants you down on everything all the time. God doesn't want you in a place where you can't be an encouragement and a blessing. Yeah, there are some times, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Those times come. And sometimes you're just in it and you're going through it. And there's nothing you can do about it except to just go through it. But he wants you to return. He wants you to have a stronger immune system than what you had before. I started taking flu shots, and now they tell me flu shot doesn't even work, so I don't know, maybe I wasted my time, but at least the idea behind it is pretty good. You know, it's to make you immune to this disease that's coming. You know what truth will do? It'll be like a boost to your spiritual immunity system.
Amen.
To where when things come down, look at Psalm 1, man. That tree that's planted by the rivers.
Amen.
The Bible says that the heat still comes. The drought still comes along. But that tree that's planted down by the river, right on the banks of that Medina River, it's going to be green when everything around is going to be brown. Set your roots down in the right thing. Don't put your roots down into worldly philosophies and things like that. Hope thou in God.
Amen.
Learn God. Understand God. Be familiar with God. And that right there will be the health of your countenance.
Amen.
So you've got a condition. You're cast down, and we understand everyone's been there, but we have a prescription, and that's hope thou in God. And we have a prognosis. Things are going to get better, and you're going to praise Him, and you're going to be spiritually healthy, and you're going to be more immune to things like that in the future if you put your trust and your hope in God.
Amen.
Very simple message, but maybe it's a verse that you can chew on this week. And just in closing, I want you to know that if you don't know God, that's why we're here for you, to try to help you understand. Because all of this comes because Jesus Christ died for our sins. This is not a philosophy. This is not a therapy. This is real business. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and He saved us from our sins. He can do the same for you today. This message, hope thou in God, that could be your answer today if you're living without Jesus Christ. Run to Him. Call upon His name. If we can help you and understand that, please don't hesitate to let us know. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word.